Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 4, and we're up to verse 20. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. The title of the sermon is Keep Thy Heart, and that comes from verse 23. To listen carefully to the Word of God, to incline our ear to what God the Father is saying through the Holy Spirit by means of God's Word, Jesus, the living Word, being revealed to you in the Scriptures. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Precious word of the living and the true God. When I was younger, I watched television sometimes, and probably more than I would watch television today if I had it to do over again. And there was this program on TV called The $6 Million Man. $6 Million Man. Steve Austin, an astronaut, was seriously injured when his spaceship crashed. And so he undergoes a surgery that was sanctioned by the government, a surgery that rebuilt several parts of his body with machine parts. He basically became like a cyborg, the $6 million man. And so he had superhuman strength and speed. And they had this funny soundtrack that went along with his slow motion running as Steve Austin, the cyborg, began to travel. And he worked for the Office of Scientific Information, battling evil for the good of mankind. Classic comic strip science fiction tale. And yet you and I know that one day we are going to receive resurrection bodies. We know that the resurrection body that we will receive will be unable to die. We know that the resurrection body that we will receive will be like the body of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us. In some respects, we will be those who have a body and the stamina that corresponds with it that we have never known before. Ephesians 2 tells you that you are raised with Christ. You are raised with Christ. There is a day when you will receive a resurrection body, but you are actually currently raised with Christ. What the Bible is saying here is that, yes, there's a day when you'll receive a new body, but there's a spiritual reality that has taken place already. There's something that is true now. You have been spiritually raised with Jesus Christ because you've been joined to the Holy Spirit through the ascended Lord Jesus Christ. That's truly mind-blowing. But it seems kind of abstract. How does that impact my life here and now? And then we open Proverbs 4, verses 20 to 27, and we notice something very amazing as we look at this passage. The passage is talking about anatomy. It's talking about the anatomy of disciples. It's talking about those who have been spiritually joined to Jesus Christ, who have been raised in a spiritual sense. But it's talking about our eyes, it's talking about our mouth, it's talking about our heart, it's talking about our lips, our eyelids, and our feet. It's talking about the disciple of God, the disciple of Christ, as a series of body parts. Wouldn't it be amazing if our resurrection body began to be displayed in our earthly mortal bodies. And you see, that's what this passage is talking to you about. It's talking to you about being a disciple of Jesus Christ and what that means, and it's described in terms of your body. Verse 20 speaks of your ear. Verse 21 speaks of your eyes. That will be repeated in verse 25. And then the heart is mentioned. The heart, the true center of our being, according to the scriptures. This is the power center. This is how we become those who have protection against the ways of the world, by our heart being changed. And so it's like we're going through this radical surgery. We are being transformed by the work of the Holy Spirit so that in mortal bodies we can begin to display this spiritual power. And that's what this passage is about. Verse 23 speaks of the very center of our being that is the fountain for the issues of life. And then verse 24 speaks of our mouth and our lips. And our eyes are mentioned again, our feet, our hand, and our foot. This is the pattern of our life before God. We are disciples of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ's resurrection presence is displayed in the way that we live in our mortal bodies. That's pretty amazing. As we turn to verse 20, we see this admonition, this call, this warning. And we've heard it before, but maybe we're thinking about it differently now. Maybe we're thinking about it in a more concrete way, because we're actually being told to listen, to pay attention to the words of the Father, and to incline or stretch our ear unto his sayings. Who's speaking to us? It's God. God is speaking to us in his word. We're actually taking the place of this son in verse 20. We're being told that we are to pay attention, to attend to the Father's words. Where are those found? They're found in the scriptures. They're found in God's word. We're being called upon to attend to God's words. And you see, this is part of the keeping of your heart that we will get to in verse 23. This is part of the spiritual power that you are being given in your mortal bodies in a fallen world, that you would pay attention to God's words is a mark of the presence of the Holy Spirit. That you would pay attention, that you would stretch your ear to hear God's words, because the natural man doesn't do that. This is something that has been accomplished through the radical surgery of the Holy Spirit, causing you to begin to display this willingness to listen, this willingness to pay attention. Attend to my words, truly hear them. Turn your ear to the sayings of God. And then verse 21 gives you a word picture. It's like those words might get up and walk away. Like they might be drawing feet and walking away from you. And you're not supposed to let that happen. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Pay attention to the Word of God as it's being read to you, as you're reading it, as you're meditating upon it, because it's designed to sink into your heart. It's designed to be the means by which your heart is kept, which we'll get to in verse 23. This is a source of spiritual power for you. This is resurrection power. Don't let these words walk away. Don't let them depart. In fact, provide a place in your heart to keep them. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Like a place where you hide treasure. Psalm 119, verse 11 says this, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." You see what's being said? If you hide the word of God in your heart, it prevents you from sin. That's power. That's spiritual power that comes from God, the Father, that comes through being joined to Jesus Christ, the Son, that comes from the presence of the Holy Spirit. You have been given something that you can hide in your heart to keep you from sin. And so the motivation for doing this is given to you in verse 22. You're being told what to do in verses 20 and 21. Now you're being told the motivation for doing it. The word for they are life unto those that find them. God's words are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. It's amazing the physical way that this passage speaks to us. It's amazing the way that this passage speaks to us in physical terms. They are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. There's an impact upon our physical lives of having the Word of God hid in our hearts. This wisdom gives life. It's an echo of verse 13, where we're told, "Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life." Instruction is your life. God's word is designed to bring life to you, and life that will affect your body, that will affect your flesh. It has an impact upon our physical lives. Yes, it's spiritual in nature. Yes, we haven't received our new bodies yet, but this is life. This is where it comes from. And then verse 23 tells us the very core of it. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart. You see, your heart is a receptacle, and the living word dwells there. God's word has been hid in your heart so that you might not sin. That's the source of power for you. And you're being told to keep that. You're being told to carve out a place where you treasure the word of God. You're being told to attend to it. You're being told to don't let it walk away. But now you're being told to keep your very heart. This is the core center of our being. The place in the scriptures that describes what causes us to make decisions. Our true commitments. The things that are truly important to us. They come from our heart. And according to chapter 2 and verse 2, the ear is one of the keys to the heart. Incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. As we take in the words of God, they are designed to make us those who have a core center that we have power from. A core center that affects our lives, our decisions, and the way that we interact with people around us. The heart is the origin of our life's activity. When we do things that are wrong, they come from our heart. We'll get to that in just a second. But when we do things that are driven by God's word, it's because God's word is there in our heart. And God's word has power. And so we're being told to keep our heart with diligence. It's a word that has to do with being vigilant, being constantly on alert, diligent to keep your heart. Paying attention to the welfare of your inner core, your inner being, guarding it. Because of this reason, our heart influences our actions. Our heart influences what we do. That's what this verse is telling us. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Out of the heart out of the core of our being are the issues of life. It's a word, this word issues, that's from a root word that means to go out. Outgoings, like refreshing waters that come out of our hearts. We can understand the way our hearts work in this way if we consider the opposite. And Jesus makes it very clear in a passage like Matthew 15. Matthew 15, he calls the multitude in verse 10, and he says, "Hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man." Jesus is talking about foods going in, but he's saying, no, it's actually what comes out that makes a man defiled. His disciples come along, and they say the Pharisees were offended because they heard this saying. And he answers them about blind leaders of the blind. And then the disciples want to understand what he's talking about when he says that which comes out of the mouth defiles a man. And Jesus explains it this way. "Do ye not understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly, and is cast out into the drop? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. They defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies." That's what Jesus is saying comes out of our hearts, from the core of our being. And that's what defiles us, evil thoughts. Did you know that evil thoughts, when you have them, come from the very core of your being? Come from your heart? That's what Jesus is saying. It's like this fountain. And if there's dirty water in there, dirty water comes spewing out. Dirty water in the terms of evil thoughts or murders. These are the things, Jesus says, that defile a man. In other words, our heart influences our actions. Our heart influences our words. Our heart is the very core of our being. But we'll see as we move on in our passage that the reverse is true as well. When you begin to engage in godly actions, your heart begins to change. But don't miss what Jesus is saying. Those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from our heart, and they defile man. That's what the word issues is talking about here. Out of your heart are the issues of life. That's what comes forth, like dirty or clean water. And so we begin in verse 24, right on the heels of verse 23, with a statement concerning our speech. Because this passage is telling us that our speech actually comes from our heart. It comes from the core of us. "Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee." You see, sometimes when we say stuff, I know I've done this, we say things like, "Oh, I misspoke. Oh, I didn't really mean that. That was a slip of the tongue." But the Word of God is telling us here that our heart is where these things come from. And we are to put them away. We are to put away perverse lips. We're to put away a froward mouth. But it comes from the inside of us. You see, it's kind of like these windows here. If you stand outside of the window, you can see into this building. And that's the way it is with our hearts. When we say things and we say, "Oh, I didn't really mean it," someone just saw our heart. Someone just saw what we really are like. And if you listen carefully to the news these days, you'll find that people make a big deal out of this. It's actually become quite popular for people to say, "Aha! Now I see what you're really like because of what you just said. Because of what you just put on social media. I know what you're like," and people are losing jobs. Because the world is beginning to see this principle that Jesus explained quite carefully. Our words reveal our inner life. Jesus puts it this way in Luke 6, verse 45. "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of the heart our mouth speaks. And that's why we're being told to put away those words that are perverse, the words that are froward, both of those words explaining one another, deceitful words. Did you know that there's another way that your heart can express the inner core of your being in a way that is very positive, in fact, saving? The Bible says in Romans 10, verse 10, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. When you confess the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord, when you confess him with your mouth, the Bible says that you need to also believe with your heart. And this is why we want people to publicly declare their faith in Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says in Romans 10:9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And you see, the beauty of that is, that's the answer to the evil things that come out of our heart. That's the way that our heart begins to be kept. That's the way that we are set up now to have spiritual power. Because the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, begins to descend into our hearts where we confess him and where we acknowledge that he's been raised from the dead. You see, the alternative is to have a heart that's two ways. James chapter 3 talks about this. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs? So can no fountain yield both salt water and fresh. We're being told that in the very core of our being, where we confess Jesus Christ, that that part of our heart needs to be made pure by him, by the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that we confess. This surgery that's being done is being done as we consider our lips. As we consider our lips and we begin to remember the things that came out of our mouth, and we turn to Jesus Christ, and we say, change my heart in that area. Change my heart in that way. Wisdom, you see, steers you toward the right path. And this goes on as we consider the following verses of our passage in verses 25 to 27. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. You're being told that there are ways that your body begins to operate in a way that keeps your heart. You begin to live in a way that keeps your heart. And so the eyes that were mentioned in verse 21 are now mentioned as the means that God uses to keep you looking straight ahead, to keep you focused on that which is ahead of you. Like a runner staring at the finish line, ready to reach it. This is Hebrews 12, the end of chapter 11 and chapter 12. We're like an archer looking at the target. Some of you have tried to shoot free throws, and you realize that when you're interrupted, it's kind of hard to shoot. Or you've tried to golf, or you've tried to bowl, or you're just trying to watch a TV show, and somebody disturbs you. I missed that. And when I was younger, if you missed it, you couldn't go onto YouTube and see what you missed. It was gone. I missed what they say. I don't know. Wait for the reruns in 5 years. When you're 45 years old, you can watch, you know, some channel that has all those TV programs. Oh yeah, that spot. We're, you know, striving to get back to that place that you missed. All right, no big deal. But when your eyes are looking straight on, you're considering the pathway that's being carved out for you. And you know what? The good news is that not only has Jesus provided for you to have a change on the inside of your heart, he's also provided for you the place where you're to look, because he's been there ahead of you. Hebrews 12 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also, we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," that's those who went before us, "let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." You see, you're being compared to a runner in a race, running around a track, and you have a great cloud of witnesses around you, people that have gone before, and they're cheering you on. And some of you know who those people are. But there's one that you have to keep your focus on. This is how you are to look straight on, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. It's possible to live the Christian life looking at someone else who went before. But the Bible tells you not to do that. The Bible tells you to look to Jesus, because that's how you finish the race. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You see, Jesus is the one whose eyes look straight on. Jesus is the one whose eyelids looked straight before. Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Your feet are the ones that do the actual walking. But they follow directions from your heart and from your eyes. I heard a story about, okay, just bear with me here. This boy said that, this man said that when he was a young boy, you know, the way that they as poor people, were able to cool off in the summertime was they had a sprinkler. And they had a sprinkler in the yard, and they just stripped down and they run through the sprinkler. But they were right next to the church building. So a church Bible study, women are coming out of the Bible study, and one woman was so distracted by these little kids running around naked, she ran right into a telephone pole, and she split her head. You have to look where you're going. You have to ponder the path of your feet. Don't let that happen to you. Looking around, trying to live the Christian life, looking around, that somebody is doing something that you think is interesting or fun, and you hit your head on a telephone pole. You have to ponder the path of your feet. You have to look ahead of you, and you have to let your ways be established by the Lord. And then the passage says, "Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." It's possible for us to stray or to roam. But you're being told to stay on the path. You're being told this is the path that's laid out before you. And we've seen this before in Proverbs. We're following this path. And you say, well, you know, that's great. That's a wonderful thing. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that heart that you're talking about. I'm not sure that the very core of me is in the right place. I'm not sure if I'm changed on the inside. So I can walk, I can ponder the ways of my feet, I can stay on the path that I think is the right path. But on the inside, I'm not sure it's there. Well, there was a very great promise given in the time of Jeremiah in chapter 31 and in the time of Ezekiel in chapter 36. And the Word of God says through Ezekiel that there would be a time when God would sprinkle clean water on his people and make them clean from all of their filthiness, take away their idols. And then he says in verse 36 of Ezekiel 36, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. God is saying that he was going to do surgery. He was going to do spiritual surgery on his people, and he was going to give them a new heart. A new heart. He was going to give them a new heart. And the pinnacle of that promise is focused on Jesus Christ. Because in John chapter 7, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the last day, the great day of the feast, stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly, out of the very core of his being, same language, shall flow rivers of living water." A heart change. Jesus Christ is declaring that Ezekiel 36 is fulfilled by believing in him. "He that believeth on me," the Bible says, "out of his belly, out of the very core of his being, shall flow rivers of living water." And then verse 39, we get this little parenthesis. "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Did you know that when you have a mouth that curses and a mouth that blesses, that you can't tame your tongue? Did you know that you can't change your heart, that you can't make it in the way that this passage is talking about by yourself? It has to come through believing in Jesus and receiving the Holy Spirit. But when your heart is changed, you get the wisdom that's from above. A wisdom that is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. "And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." What the Word of God is saying is that there is a way that our words can be changed, that our pathway can be changed, that the very core of our being can be changed. This is wisdom from above. This is like the $6 million man of today. And you say, "Well, you know, women? Hello, women! Bionic Woman." The next spinoff of the series. All of us are receiving the Holy Spirit. And this Spirit is given to you and to me in mortal bodies. Bodies that will tend to lead us to sin. And you're being told that through Jesus Christ, through the one that you confess, you can keep your heart. You can be vigilant, you can be alert, because out of your very heart are the issues of life. And so we'll close with what Romans 6:13 says. As we consider our physical bodies and how they lead us into sin, let's remember what the Holy Spirit tells us. "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Did you know that the Bible actually says that the parts of your body are to be yielded unto God as those that are alive from the dead? There is a resurrection life that is found in Jesus Christ. It's found by the work of the Holy Spirit. And this, you see, is how the very core of your being is being kept. This is how you are able to even pay attention to the words of God. This is how you are able to store up a treasure of God's words in your heart that he will use. This is where life comes from. This is the very core of your heart, being joined to Jesus Christ by the Spirit and having your heart changed by the Spirit of God. This is what you are to keep with diligence and be alert to. This is the core of your being that allows you to put away perverse speech. This is the very core of your being that allows you to see the way, looking steadily to Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of your faith. This is how you can really consider the pathway that you're on, the pathway of your feet. This is how you can stay without strain on the path, turning not to the right hand or the left, and actually remove your foot from evil. It all comes by being joined to the Lord Jesus Christ. An old TV show a long time ago that some of you haven't even seen means very little. But this spiritual surgery, this resurrection power, this union with Jesus Christ by the Spirit, this is the center of a new life. You have been given a new heart in Jesus Christ, so that out of the core of your being, the work of the Spirit flows. This is what you're being told to yield to. Yield unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God.